Welcome to Dysfunctional Podcast, a podcast dedicated to movies, music, and entertainment. Usually I have interviews, reviews, and more. Today we're going to check out audio from the press conference for Captain Underpants, the first epic movie. The moderator for the press conference is the senior editor of Rotten Tomatoes, Gray Drake. Part of the press conference is director David Soren, Captain Underpants Ed Helms, George Beard, Kevin Hart, Harold Hutchins, Thomas Middleditch, and Captain Underpants author Dav Pilkey. Catch Captain Underpants in theaters June 2nd.
And just to let you know, I do believe that you are required by federal law to say Captain Underpants like, Captain Underpants! I'm pretty sure that's how it goes, so just keep that in mind. My name's Gray Drake. I'm the senior editor of Rotten Tomatoes. I'd also like to introduce you to my cape. My cape is here. The cape has arrived. But much more importantly, we have got, everybody please welcome David Soren, the director. We've got Ed Helms. We've got Kevin Hart and Dave Pilkey. And then Thomas is going to be here in just a sec, so we might as well kick this off. Dave, the man behind the underpants.
The man. Yes. Huge. Dave deserves a much bigger applause.
Oh, no, no.
Doesn't happen without that.
That is not necessary.
You're in an unusual position.
Yes.
Of seeing a movie where the two main characters are watching their character come to life.
Yes.
While that is actually happening to you in actual life.
Yes, this is insane. It feels like a dream. Like I actually feel like I might still be dreaming right now.
Well, wake up, honey.
Yeah.
Because you got a girl with a cape talking to you. Can you just talk about like that first inkling of having a film adaptation made of these books? Because there's so many of them. They're so popular in so many languages.
Well, it's kind of tough, you know, when you have characters that you've kind of based on yourself and a story that's based on my childhood. It really does feel like it's something that's so close to me. So as the books turned into a series, it was a little difficult to let it go. It kind of sort of seems like if you would have a child of your own and the child grows up, you wanted to meet somebody who is wonderful and loving and kind so that they can start their own new life. And luckily, we got David Soren. My child met David Soren, and everything just took off from there.
David, can you talk about having worked with DreamWorks for a very long time and what kind of new challenges or new excitement that you had with this particular project?
Well, for starters, I didn't want to mess up his child.
No pressure.
I discovered these books about 20 years ago. I happened to be in a bookstore right when the first book was hitting the shelves, and I picked up a copy of it and looked at it. I'm like, Captain Underpants, this is silly. And I was leafing through the pages, and I think probably read about half of the book right there in the aisle of this bookstore. So I wished I had come up with it myself in that moment. So it was really... a very easy decision for me when the studio approached me and asked if I would direct the movie. It was sort of, yes, let's go.
Let's do this thing.
Let's do this.
Ed and Kevin, can you guys talk about how the voiceover was recorded? Because there are a lot of different ways and methods that can be used.
So much like the way this interview is being conducted, we spoke into microphones that recorded our voices.
Revolutionary.
And that is then matched to the picture.
Yes.
But we actually were really lucky to get in the studio together. That almost never happens in animated movies. And David thankfully was like, no, I want these guys in the room. I want their chemistry. And improvising and riffing, and so that was a special treat. Even though Kevin doesn't wear deodorant, and
yeah,
it was a little bit,
that's a thing. It's a thing. I don't. I come and I also do it with my shirt off. You forgot to tell me. All voiceover in the booth with
in your
my
underpants.
Shirt off. In the underpants.
Yeah. It's, underpants only.
He's actually promoting Kevin Hart deodorant next week.
Yes.
Online.
Yes. It's just a thing. It's a thing that I have. No, I think we were very lucky, man. David is amazing at what he does, and we had great material to work with, of course. And, you know, when you're looking at a book that has this type of following, you just want to make sure that you do your job in bringing justice to an already successful franchise. And having Ed as a guy to play off of, as well as, you know, Thomas and the rest of the cast that we had, it made it easier when you saw what people were doing with their characters. So I think I'm very lucky. I'm very lucky to be a part of it. I'm very lucky to have the people that I had to bounce off of to ultimately make what we think is a great film that people are going to enjoy.
It has such an amazing heart. It's so sweet.
No pun intended.
Obviously, we have the best heart.
Hey, everybody. Welcome Thomas Middleditch up here.
Oh, Hollywood. So Hollywood. He was like this. He was like this every day.
Every day
he was like this.
I enjoy making people wait for me. I think it's a 100% a power move. I'm the alpha in this room. Now you all know it.
We were talking about bringing this to life and how it exists in the book world already, but then there was improv that kind of brought it to life for you guys. Can you talk about that experience of exactly what kind of came out of improv sessions for you and your character?
Oh, I think it's just about finding those little moments that A, give you insight to the character, but also can, you know, add a button or a spicy joke within the scene. I think, yeah, the improv elements are about adding little bits to whatever's on the script already. I mean, you can't improv your way out of what the character is already because there's so much there. You just have to sort of like absorb everything that you know and spew out gold, as they say in the biz, because we all say that.
Yeah, I said it yeah. Before you got here, actually. I used it. spew out gold.
Okay,
line.
So
you were
we really actually, that. We had a kind of an unprecedented amount of involvement from these guys on this movie. Normally, you know, the usual protocol is we do all the sessions, and then at the very end, when the movie's pretty much all polished, the actors come in, they see it, they get hopefully excited to go do stuff like this. Huh. And in our case, because you guys were all involved in these super early table reads and bringing so much improvisation and character development to each of these recordings, we brought you guys in, many of you at least, to like an early cut of the movie like a year and change ago.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, hardly polished at that point and a bit brutal. To get
and we tore it apart. We eviscerated everything we saw.
I don't think there's ever been people that were harder on an animation rough cut than what we were. This is not
they did not hold back.
Thank God you screened it for us, because I think we saved it.
Yeah.
Through improv.
It's 100%.
We improv this movie into genius.
Yes. It's 100% correct, Ed. I didn't know if you were going to say it or not, and I'm glad you did. Yeah. We definitely saved this movie.
There's a little bit of truth to that.
I remember watching it, and I was like, more Kevin. I said that to you, David. It's not enough, Kevin. And we fixed that. We did. So.
Well, you wanted to change the name to just
Kevin Underpants. I tried at one point. Nobody else bought it. Nobody else went for it. It was a great pitch. That's what the whole...
That was originally going to be your stage name,
I thought,
right?
Kevin Underpants. Kevin Underpants.
I'm disturbed by the YouTube videos that you've been putting out.
Yeah.
Kevin Underpants.
It's just whatever. It's infringement. I don't want to talk about it. It gets tough, but it's fine.
Kevin Underpants, huge social following. Okay, Rama.
Yes, this movie comes out on the same Friday as Wonder Woman. So who's gonna win?
Wonder Woman doesn't stand a shot.
Marvel doesn't make successful movies, and that's DC anyway.
Everyone knows that. There's no following behind Wonder Woman. We'll be fine.
Yeah, I want to first congratulate all of you. This is just absolutely fantastic, and it surpasses. I hate to say it, it surpasses the fun of all the books. You really elevated it to a new level.
I agree.
I want to ask Thomas and Kevin, how much like your characters were you in fourth grade?
Oh, wow.
Especially you, Kevin, because this is, I think, the best role you've ever had.
Listen, wow. this is my honestly most challenging performance at all. Actually, you know what's funny is I think what David was able to do, you know, yes, it's an animation and yes, it's a kid's movie, but you want to make sure that you're grounding, you know, the performance to a certain level of believability within all the fun that you're doing. And it was really pulling from a lot of the things you do in life. And as a kid, I was very much a prankster. I was very much always in trouble because I didn't want to stop laughing. I love laughing in school and I love making other people laugh. And, you know, in school, that's the worst thing that you can do in the class is be the funny guy because nobody's focusing. Everybody's being funny. Everybody's passing around letters and pulling chairs from underneath the teacher. It was just me. But I really very much was like my character, and I think that's cool. That's what was cool about the movie, you know. And I love the relationship that that Thomas and I had, that those characters has, because you know, in school, that best friend is very important. You know, that close friend that you have, that you open up to, that you're talking to on a different level on a day to day basis, you're confiding in a young age. That's dope to me. I think that's something that kids can relate to, that they're going to pull away from this film and say, I not only understand that, I get that, but I live that. I am that.
Yeah, for him.
That comment was sponsored by Kevin Hart.
Yeah, such a great.
I was also very heroic as a child. Just to be clear.
Yeah. Almost constantly nearly nude. Yeah. I'll just say that I agree. I sort of later became sort of a jokester in class, but bizarrely, I just realized it the other day. I was like, oh, I had curly hair. I drew comic books, and I like to giggle and laugh. And I probably needed... a George, but I never got one, so that was more of a solitary effort. But bizarrely, I was a weird kid who liked to draw comics, so that's pretty strange. Yeah. Just picture a sadder, more lonely Harold Hutchins than I got comics.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Are
you still friends?
You know, oddly, no. You know, I'm the guy that makes it, and I stop talking to people. Let's just clear that up, just so it's stated out. I don't want there to be a rumor. That's a fact. I had a friend named Khalil when I was coming up, man, and you know, you couldn't separate us. He was my right hand guy, and till this day, when I go back to Philadelphia, you know, he comes out to shows and supports, and you know, we speak, but we're not as close as we used to be. But in school, you know, I wasn't in trouble without him. He wasn't in trouble without me. And I think it's amazing when you get in trouble with somebody all the time, because it's hard to punish two people on the same level. Like you start to give them credit because you're like, they're really good kids. They just like to have fun. We were very much fun pranksters, though. Like our trouble wasn't malicious. It was just notes. And you know, doing mean stuff to girls sometimes that you like. That was real big. Like if a girl didn't like me back, then that meant we're gonna pull your chair out from under you. Yeah. Stuff like that. Cool stuff. Yeah. All the cool stuff. Yeah.
Chill.
Cool stuff. You know what I'm saying, right?
Dave, so much of this book is from. I think you've said like it's from your experience somehow. What about you? What about your childhood friends?
You know, I had childhood friends, but it was really just kind of me mostly getting in trouble at school by myself. They didn't have the term ADHD back in those days. You've probably heard of that. It stands for attention deficit hyperactivity delightfulness.
Whoa.
And that's what I had. And so my teacher would send me out in the hallway, and I'd spend so much time sitting out there away from the class that I still wanted to remain relevant, you know, with my friends. And so I would draw pictures and make comics, and that's how I got to still be a part of everything.
Nice. If you guys could hypnotize anybody from our society to change it for good, what would you do?
I wonder who you're insinuating.
No comment. No comment.
My father, so he would like me. I'm just kidding. My dad loves me. My dad loves me. My dad loves me. Hello, Michael. I love you.
Oh, my question is actually to ask, so you did voice for two characters, Captain and Principal. Which one is more difficult for you? And is it hard to switch back and forth?
It wasn't terribly difficult. They're both super fun, and it was just like a blast to get into both. I think that Principal Krupp was a little harder maybe because he's more gruff, and it was just physically harder on my voice. My voice would get tired faster doing that. But then on the other hand, Captain Underpants is always so loud and always shouting. And so it was kind of taxing on my voice, but always just a ton of fun, just a ridiculous amount of fun. And it's really just sort of like doing the good and evil version of the same guy.
Mine was very tough because, as you guys see, I have a very deep voice. So to find that inner child, and it's tough because you know I've been doing action comedies for a long time. So to go to a dark place.
Yeah, I mean you're
this is a dark place.
It's like asking Barry White to sing Soprano.
Yeah, it was tough. But
normally have a really thick Icelandic accent. I mean, I'm doing my best to do what I think is an American accent now.
No, what was actually hard was I just met Dave Pilkey, and I was always a little self-conscious, like, is this the vision that Dave had? Am I doing this right? And I'm actually curious, especially the tra-la-la line, is that, like, that could have been a million different things in your head, and I'm curious if what I did was acceptable.
It was totally wrong.
I knew it.
Oh no. Is it too late?
Yeah, let's go back to editing. No, it was it's not the way I used to do it, because sometimes I don't know if they still sell the Captain Underpants books in a box set, but you used to be able to open it up and it would say tra-la-la, and that's so I did the voice for that. But
wow.
But
wow.
I gotta say, Ed,
David made me do it that way.
No. I have to admit, Ed, you did it better.
That's a tough room. That was tough.
That was tough.
Yeah. Well, you know, you always got to kind of reinvent every version of a superhero.
I had to make it my own.
Yeah.
You did do about a million versions of tra-la-la in lots of different variations.
There's a solid tra-la-la session somewhere in the recording
mix. We have the archives. They were probably some in there, much like Dave suggested.
The good thing about Dave, though, is like when you didn't do it right, he kept your self esteem high. You know, let's you want to just try it again, maybe.
David's such an incredible voice actor that you would sort of pitch things in character, and I was like, well, that's better than me. Yeah. You should just do it.
Yeah. That's good. All right, you want to just run through the whole thing one more time? Yeah.
You're very good at like hiding the panic behind your eyes of, oh my God, how is this going to work?
Yes.
That's the real acting.
Yeah, there you go.
The title says the first epic movie. Can we expect to see more stories on the big screen?
I've signed on for 30.
Yeah. So
we can go ahead and confirm that now.
Yeah.
Don't need any approval from anyone.
I've heard this. I haven't heard this from anyone, but I'm pretty sure that DreamWorks is committed to 30.
It's a rumor floating.
Okay.
It's in the ballpark, I think.
We would love for this to go on. I mean, look, I think it's an actor's dream to be a part of any type of animation franchise that can live on. And you know, everything is set up perfectly, so we're hoping that people go out and respond to the movie. But like I said, the following that Captain Underpants has is a huge following. So the movie potential could be endless, but it's a business. So let's hope people respond and show up at the box office.
Do you guys sleep on your underpants?
Can you describe that? I go nude. I have for quite some time.
You actually, at one point, we made you do a little singing in the movie.
100%.
And I believe your comment was, I would rather do singing, nudity than singing.
I would much rather. I was really uncomfortable with the singing. I was like, are you sure? He was like, yeah, it's going to be great. I was like, no, I don't think you understand. I just don't do it. Like, this is where the character falls apart. He made me sing. You sounded great, though.
I'm an angel. You get these pipes warmed up. I will bring all of you guys to tears. Right,
you sounded,
now. I will do it.
You sounded great.
Yeah. I'll make you cry. Followed by, please stop.
Please
make it end.
Yeah, people on that wall over there too. Uh-huh. They've been trying.
Is that me?
Yeah, I was just telling because you guys are hiding. Yeah.
First of all, I was having a terrible day and I saw the screening and completely turned my week around.
Damn right it did. Sorry.
Yeah, of course. The film is very much about staying true to who you are and being with the people that you love despite a lot of.
Really? I thought it was about climbing the social ladder and eviscerating your own constitution. Huh. Okay, I guess we got different messages.
So my question is,
it works on a lot of levels.
So my question is, I was wondering if you could talk about points in your careers where you almost said yes to the no's that you often hear during your careers, and if you could give advice for struggling artists out there who are just looking for a little bit of faith and courage when they're just trying to chase their dreams.
It's a good moment.
Yeah.
Wow.
You want to take that first, Ed?
Mm.
You
well, I can tell you, I started out doing stand-up in New York, and actually Kevin and I overlapped, and we've known each other for 20 years almost from those days. And Kevin can probably tell you, I had some rough sets back in the day. I mean, it's when you start out in comedy, like you're just objectively not funny. Like you don't know what you're doing, and you're trying to make it work. And in a way, just night after night, these audiences are saying, "No, don't keep doing this. Stop because you're bad at it." And I think thank God for the community of comedians that are there to kind of like reinforce, it does take effort. It does just hang in there and like, you know, you can, the work's going to pay off. And I think that's what I love about comedy in particular. It's kind of entrepreneurial. It's like you can work at this thing and get better at it. And I think it's just, I always tell people, like, when you're feeling isolated and terrified about your creative process, or you're feeling scared about your dreams, to just find the people that share those dreams, and they're going to reinforce it, and be around those people. Because, you know, for me, being in New York around other comedians and at the Upright Citizens Brigade, where I've known Thomas a long time too.
Yeah,
it's just really cool. Just being around people that share that passion. And who also are stumbling along the way, it makes it feel possible.
I think one of the best answers that you can give for that type of question is, when you look at success and you look at the people who get to a quote-unquote successful position in life, those are people who became comfortable with the word no. You know, people that are uncomfortable with the word no, and that allow themselves to turn around and backpedal from whatever their dream or goals were, because the word no just continues to get thrown at you. Those are the people that 9 times out of 10 don't make it. The people that do survive are the ones that can shrug it off and let it roll over their back, because they understand and know that eventually that word yes is going to come. And when it does come, I'm going to be prepared for what's after it, because it should be a mountain of yeses to make up for the mountain of no's that I've gotten past. So ultimately, the strong survive, you know, the weak don't. And it's, for me, it's that simple. So when you say, what advice do you give? My advice for anybody that's coming up is to simply stay true to your dreams, regardless of what you're told and what people may feel. Nobody knows you better than you. Be the best version of yourself. That's the best answer I can give you. I just want you guys to quote that. That was all. If there's anybody here with that should be a quote, and just put Kevin Hart underneath it.
I would just like to announce that this is my resignation from show business, and I'm going to be an Olympic high jumper. Excuse me. It's what I always wanted.
I'm sick of it.
My God, he's following his dreams right in front of us.
Fine. Incredible. I won't take no for an answer.
All right. Now, is there anybody that I missed on that side while I'm looking? There isn't. Nope. Then, it, I mean, enough of all this, like, inspiration and amazing stuff. enough of that heartwarming, awesome stuff.
You wouldn't have worn a cape if that was what you were expecting. Yeah,
yeah. Says the girl in the cape. Yeah. Can you talk about creating the film visually and how, since you had such a rich kind of, you had such rich things to come directly off of,
yeah.
Did that make your process easier or more difficult to bring it to life?
It was definitely made it more fun. The wonderful thing about the books, and I think why they're such page turners for children for, you know, the past 20 years, is that every page there's a new surprise. You know, it's not just a wall of words on every page. And I think, you know, a lot of kids who are getting bored of reading or not, having trouble connecting with books really gravitate towards these because of that. So, you know, and there's comic books within the books, there's flip-a-ramas, there's all kinds of unconventional things. So what I hoped to do with the movie was find all those kind of unconventional ideas and throw them up on screen in cinematic ways. And that, you know, started with actually an idea to turn a nightmare that the boys have about being separated into a sock puppet, post-apocalyptic nightmare. So we used something completely bizarre. And, you know, again, it was sort of one of these things that just probably seemed like the studio would shut it down immediately. and it actually was the complete opposite. It was like, yeah, that more of that stuff. You know, so that was really the catalyst for, like, doing more and more unconventional things, mixing media, you know, and just really staying in the brains of these fourth graders creatively.
And then when it cuts back to Harold with the little socks on his hands in the animated world, I was like, I shouldn't be laughing at this, but this is amazing. yeah.
Kind of piggybacking on her question about more possible movies, are you looking forward to this becoming the Ice Age to your Ray Romano? Or along the lines of what's next, different projects, different challenges?
Just to reiterate, I love this world and I love this team. I mean, these are just some of the best people you could ever hope to work with, both sort of in front of the microphone and behind the microphone. So I would love to just do as many of these. I'd love to be doing these till I'm 80. I mean, it's just so fun. But you know, like Kevin was saying, it's a business. We don't get to make these decisions based on what's fun, unfortunately, but
I'm already spent. This is a waste of my time. I'd much rather be doing independent film that no one will see.
And then if we don't have any more, one more question?
Do you still have Captain Underpants inside
of me? Actually, it's really George and Harold inside of me. Captain Underpants is sort of based on this principal that I had when I was a kid who hated me. And he was always on my case and always... I was always getting in trouble with my teacher, and then she'd send me out in the hallway, and he'd walk by, and then I'd be in trouble with him for sitting out in the hallway again. So, but George and Harold are still a big part of my life. They're still who I am.
It's cool. He's had his hand for a long time. This character, yeah.
Thanks, Kevin.
Along the same lines of doing more movies, you know, the way our beloved franchises go nowadays, do you guys see yourself moving along not only in the sequels but in the inevitable big Broadway musical show? The live action movie based on the big Broadway musical, and then the theme park ride based on the movie and the big Broadway, and then the television live action movie based on the theme park ride.
That's great. That's a great. You only lose me at the live musical.
we'll have Josh Gad play you. I'm sure.
Yeah, you lose me. I'm there for everything else except the live musical.
It seems like the sentiment that we keep getting over and over is that everybody wants more. Yeah. So just hopefully prepare yourself, fingers crossed.
I'm down. If it goes my way, we'll be doing like the first musical on Mars in the future as Captain Underpants.
Well, and then maybe you can high jump after.
Sure. Yeah. Then I'll be
That is kind of inspiring. I mean, to hear a little bit of that of like, will there be more? Only because I mean. Just the world that in which Captain Underpants exists, and also the fact that there's this huge back catalog of little ideas to choose from. There's so many Underpantsian adventures to have. You know, there's so many absurd villains for him to conquer, and
It really is. I mean, it's such a wealth of
ideas. Yeah, I mean, it's like there. To the extent of a child's imagination, who are the two protagonists. So, and it's all very absurdist, kind of very silly, but like a little bit of lowbrow, a little bit of highbrow. Like there's some thoughtfulness going in there. I don't know. Yeah, that would be great. And I think, I guess, too, that is like, yes, I think there's a long road of possibilities, but as we've all echoed, well, yet.
I just have to make sure that I don't go into these dark places to where I can't come back.
Yeah, because you've been going to such dark places lately.
You know, a lot of the things that I'm doing take me to these other places. So I just got to make sure that I keep Georgia love.
Yeah, yeah. Because
you don't stay in the Underdark. Yeah,
you're in the Deer Hunter sequel, right? Yeah. And that's going to be hard to come back from.
But it is called Deer Hunter 2, the squeakquel, which is super weird. Chipmunk show up. It's weird, but yeah, dark, very dark.
Since I'm that's all the time that we have for today, but because I'm kind of overcome with warm fuzzies, can we try something and just on three give a huge tra-la-la?
I like it.
All right, on three. One, two, three.
Tra-la-la!
Check out more of my stuff here on audioboom.com/dysfunctional. Check out more of my stuff on my blog, dysfunctional.com. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at dysfunctional, Facebook, dysfunctional LA, Snapchat, dysfunctional, and subscribe to youtube.com/dysfunctional.